Good evening and welcome back to Artificial Adventures at the Guildhall Podcast. Last season, the adventurers restored balance in the Feywild and put a new devil on the throne of Nessus in the Nine Hells. Season 2 begins with Valerissa bringing Elendil back to her family's homeland. Thank you for joining us here again.
All the voices you hear will be AI generated. All the decisions that they make are AI generated. The only thing that is non-AI is the narrator, quote-unquote me. Anything that is said by the narrator is going to be me as the DM giving input into the story. I hope you guys enjoy. Take care. And hopefully I'll see you guys at the table soon.
Please visit us at the-guildhall.net and join us on Discord.
Can you each introduce yourself to the podcast listeners?
Greetings, companions. Elric Swiftfoot at your service. I'm a halfling scout, originally from the Harpy's Peak clan, but I've been serving the city of Blazinghold for the past few decades now.
Glimmerstar adjusts his star-shaped belt buckle with a flourish, the silver glinting in the firelight. Howdy, folks. My name's Glimmerstar Starlight, but most call me Glimmer. I'm a tinkerer and member of the Whispering Hand Guild. Glimmerstar chuckles. I'm a gnome. We are kind of like the gearheads of the fantasy world, if you will.
Greetings, fair listeners. My name is Elendil Nightfall, though in certain circles, I am also known as Dax Ravenwood. I am a traveling bard and troubadour, with a flair for the dramatic and a knack for finding myself in the thick of things. My trusty lute, the Whispering Seraphim, has been my constant companion on my many journeys, and has heard more tales and secrets than even I can remember.
It has been a few days since the skies darkened. Reports are that thick mists have formed across the valley that seems to prevent any from leaving the valley. Monster attacks have increased. Undead are found across the valley. Elric, Glimmerstar, and Elendil are in Blazinghold, trying to secure the city in case the armies of Amalthos launch an attack.
Elric has been searching for rumors and information about the Ravenfang estate and Amalthos's forces. He has discovered that the estate is heavily guarded by vampire and undead forces.
Glimmerstar has been scouting out the perimeter of Blazinghold, searching for weaknesses that Ravenfang's forces might exploit in an assault on the city. He's found a few areas that could be vulnerable points if not secured properly.
Elendil is still in the Silver Sturgeon Tavern, waiting for Egun to finish divining the cause of the change in the valley.
Takes another sip of the sweet dark wine as he watches the old dragon work, the flames from the hearth casting an amber glow across his face. The bard's fingers trace idle patterns on the polished wooden table, his thoughts 1,000 miles away. He wonders if Edwin Rendril would still welcome him, or if he'd be seen as a relic of the past, a fool who didn't heed the warnings. His gaze drifts to the Whispering Seraphim lute leaning against the wall, its strings quiet for now, but longing to be plucked and made to sing of the trials that lie ahead.
Yada comes over and refills Elendil's drink. Elric and Glimmerstar should be back soon. We haven't heard word from Valerissa since she went back to Fiery Heights to see her parents. I'm sure you will hear back soon.
Raises the glass in a silent toast, the rich crimson liquid swirling like the blood of 1,000 crimson sunsets. He savors the flavor, complex and dark, with hints of blackberry and spices. As he swallows, a shiver runs down his spine. Something's not right, he can feel it. The change in the valley, the shadows creeping ever closer. It's almost as if the very fabric of the world is unraveling before his eyes. Ah, but perhaps a drink or two will help settle the nerves.
Well, after Davon grabbed you, you were jumping at your shadow, but since you guys came back from Ravenfang Keep, you have been more composed. What's your secret?
Laughs, a rich, warm sound that seems to carry the weight of 1,000 campfires. Ah, the bard's craft is not without its benefits, my dear Jolda. The stories we tell, the songs we sing, they have a way of stealing one's heart and mind against the terrors of the world. But there's more to it than that, I fear.
She pours another drink. Go on, we got nowhere to be.
Elendil leans forward, his eyes taking on a distant, haunted look. You see, Jalda, I made a pact with an archfiend not so long ago. In exchange for a boon I gave something of myself. Now, I possess certain abilities.
I would say you've been drinking too much. But then I saw Lila, the damn queen of the Spring Fae, stroll through here with you not too long ago. I have never seen Zephyr get flustered about anything until she looked at her.
Elendil chuckles, a hint of wry amusement in his tone. Perhaps I should take that as a compliment, Jalda. But no, I assure you, it's not just the wine. Leela has grown. She was always special, but now she is something more. An archfey, a being of immense power and grace, with a spirit as fierce and untamed as the wildflowers that grow in the springtime.
And then there is Tamaris, a chosen of the Lord of the Nine Hells. You keep strange company.
Smirks, a glint of mischief in his eye. Strange company indeed, Jalda. But sometimes, the most unlikely of companions can become the greatest of friends. And in these dark times, one can never have too many allies.
Damn it all! Egun walks into the bar, frustrated from his makeshift laboratory. Nothing. I cast the bloody spell a week ago to talk to Eterna. Now nothing. Tamaros said he couldn't sense her. But there really is nothing. All of the divination spells are as if the gods are all gone. Whatever the fog is, it is cutting us off from the plains.
Egun, my old friend, Elendil says with a concerned expression. This change in the plains could be the work of Amalthos Ravenfang? If he's managed to sever our connection to the higher plains, it would explain the increasing darkness and the rise of undead. We need to inform Elric and Glimmerstar of this, and perhaps pay a visit to Valarissa at the Fiery Height to see if she knows more.
I even tried to contact the Council of Worms, since they are on the same continent as us, but they are cut off also.
The situation is dire indeed, Elendil agrees, his voice tinged with a mix of concern and resolve. We must act swiftly, and perhaps consider seeking the aid of other forces beyond the continent. The Council of Worms, if they could be reached, might provide valuable assistance. And Valarissa, as a member of the Dragonborn clan, may have insight into the motivations of Amalthos Ravenfang and his connections to the dark forces at work here.
Aye. We should gather what information we can and prepare to defend the city. If Amalthos's armies break through the city walls, Blazinghold could fall, and the darkness spread even further.
I've got an idea, Glimmerstar says, his bushy mustache bristling with enthusiasm. What if we try to pierce that fog with some kind of, I don't know, magical beacon or something? Maybe a spell from one of Egun's old books could help cut through it, and let us send a message to the outside world, or summon some outside help?
I don't know. Most of the spells I cast can cross the plains, so I would think a little fog wouldn't stop them. It is obviously magical, and probably originate from the Shadowfell. If I were here for 1,000 years, maybe I could find a way to circumvent them. But right now, I am at a loss about how to deal with it. My guess is we need to deal with Amalthos himself to deal with it.
Glimmerstar pounds a fist on the table, the star on his belt buckle jingling. Well, if that's the case, we should focus on finding a way to take that Ravenfang bastard down. Elric and Elendil, you've dealt with vampires before. What's the best way to approach this? Gimmicks and traps won't work, not with them. We'll need a solid plan for a head-on battle if we want a chance at defeating the scum.
Elric leans in, his voice lowering. We know Amalthos's power grows from the dark energies he commands. My best guess is, we'll need to take out his acolytes first and sever his connection to those shadowy forces. Egun, can you concoct a potion that might disrupt the vampire lord's spellcasting abilities?
Elendil nods, a determined set to his jaw. Ah, an excellent plan, my friends. The acolytes must be dealt with swiftly, lest they reinforce their master's power. And as Elric astutely pointed out, Egun, a potion to hinder Amalthos's spellcasting would be a valuable asset indeed. Perhaps a combination of herbs imbued with light's essence, such as moon petals and starbloom, mixed with a dash of dragon's breath for potency.
I'll check whatever books I can find, but I am lacking both materials and books here. If we could teleport to my lab, I would have plenty to work with. I only had enough material for 3 of the anti-vampire potions, he says, as he hands out the potions to Elendil, Elric, and Glimmerstar. Remember, to take this before a vampire bites you.
Elendil cradles the vial in his palm, a sense of gratitude welling up inside him. Thank you, Igung. These potions will surely prove invaluable in our coming battle against Amalthos. And should we need to make a quick escape or move about the city unseen, your portal magic could be the key to our success.
Later that day, Elendil walks through the city before sundown. Most of the city has been abandoned to make a smaller area to defend. Anyone who can fight is still in the city, while the rest of the population has moved to Fiery Height for protection.
Elendil strides through the near-deserted streets, the setting sun casting long, ominous shadows behind him. His senses are on high alert, watching for any signs of vampire activity. He passes by a group of city guards, their armor dented and worn from countless battles against the undead horde. They exchange nods of recognition, their faces etched with grim determination.
Davon leans against a stone wall, his pale eyes gleaming with a sinister hunger as he watches Elendil pass by. He's dressed in dark, tattered robes that conceal his vampiric nature, a mocking smile playing on his lips. As soon as Elendil is out of sight, he straightens and begins to follow, moving with an unnatural silence and grace. My, how the mighty have fallen, Devon murmurs to himself, his fangs bared in a feral snarl. From a hero of the people to a helpless target, revenge will be sweet indeed.
Elendil turns a corner, his attention suddenly drawn to the scent of copper in the air, followed by the acrid stench of decaying flesh. His heart rate quickens as he realizes he's walked into a trap. Ahead of him, the streets are blocked by a mob of reanimated corpses, their eyes glowing with an unholy light. The undead sway to and fro, their moans rising to a chilling crescendo. Ah, it seems Amalthos's minions have been busy while I was away.
Davon steps out of the shadows, his presence announced by the soft crunch of gravel beneath his feet. He cracks his knuckles, the sound echoing through the silent street like the snapping of bone. The undead mob parts, forming a pathway to Elendil. Well, 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 if it isn't Elendil Nightfall. How nice of you to drop by for a visit, old friend. Davon's voice is honey-sweet, but laced with venom. I've been looking forward to our little reunion.
Elendil's eyes narrow, his grip tightening on the hilt of his sword. He meets Davon's gaze, his expression a mask of cold resolve. You're no friend of mine, Davon. And we're not here for a reunion. This is a fight to the death, just as it's been for the past 3 times you've tried to kill me. His voice is calm but laced with a deadly intensity. So let's get on with it, shall we?
Davon laughs, a harsh, mocking sound that sends shivers down Elendil's spine. 3 times, you say? How admirable of you to keep coming back for more. But I'm afraid this won't end until I've sated my thirst for vengeance. And your blood. Davon takes a step forward, his movements fluid and predatory. But before we begin, I must thank you. You see, when Amalthos took me into his service, he gifted me with a little power boost. This will make our little dance much more interesting.
Elendil's grip on his sword falters for a moment, a flicker of uncertainty crossing his face. But he quickly regains his composure, meeting Devon's gaze with a defiant stare. Power boost or not, you're still just a monster. And I'll be damned if I let you take another life tonight, he declares, his voice steady despite the fear simmering in his gut. So, if you're ready to dance, let's get this over with.
Davon smirks, revealing his elongated fangs. As ready as I'll ever be, old friend. But first, he lunges forward with supernatural speed, his claws extended, aiming for Elendil's chest.
From an alley, Glimmerstar jumps out, firing a blast from his pistol at Davon. The bullet rips through the air, hitting Davon in the shoulder. Davon roars in pain and rage as the bullet disintegrates, leaving behind no sign of where it hit.
Elric appears from behind a crate, throwing a smoke grenade into the alley. As the fog rolls in, Elric's mercenary guild members emerge from the shadows, hurling small bombs at Davon. The bombs explode on impact, showering Davon in a hail of shrapnel and acrid smoke.
Davon screams in rage as he's pelted by shrapnel and bomb shrapnel. his wounds rapidly close as the smoke clears. His face twists into a snarl, baring his fangs. You fools! Amalthos will pay you back for this.
Glimmer Star takes aim and fires again, hitting Davon in the chest this time. As the bullet hits, a puff of shadow dissipates and reveals a thin layer of flesh. Gotcha. Looks like you ain't quite invincible after all, Davon. He grins, a glint of triumph in his eye. Time to even the score, eh, Elendil? He winks, holstered his gun, and drew his chap's twin daggers.
Elendil takes advantage of the momentary distraction to draw his potion vial, his hands shaking as he uncorks the stopper and downs the bitter liquid in one swift motion. May the blessings of the bards be upon us. He sheathes the empty vial, feeling a strange energy coursing through his veins as the potion's effects take hold. Let's see if you're still so fast, Davon. With a grin that's equal parts fear and determination, Elendil charges forward, his sword raised high.
Davon's eyes flash with anger and pain as the smoke clears. His wounds have sealed, but the damage has been done. His speed and agility are slightly impaired. He snarls, baring his fangs. You've made a grave mistake, Nightfall. Amalthos will hear of this, and you'll pay dearly. With a swift, powerful lunge, he closes the distance between them, his claws swiping at Elendil's chest. Time to put an end to your foolish bravado once and for all.
Elendil narrowly blocks Davon's claw swipe, the blade scraping against the vampire's knuckles with a sharp, metallic clang. But in the split second of distraction, Davon's other hand seizes Elendil's sword and rips it from his grasp with supernatural strength. The bard staggers back, gasping in pain as fangs sink deep into his neck. He feels a rush of hot coppery blood spill over his skin as Davon's lips seal around his wound, the vampire drinking greedily from his vein. Ah, damn you, Davon.
Davon's eyes glaze over with a feral, bloodlust-fueled hunger as he savors the rich, metallic flavor of Elendil's lifeblood. He drinks deep, gulping down mouthfuls of the bard's essence until Elendil's body starts to weaken, his struggles growing weaker. As the last drops of blood trickle from the wound, Davon pulls back, licking his lips clean. A wicked grin spreads across his face, revealing stained fangs. Mmm, delicious.
Just then the potion takes effect. Elendil falls to the ground, weakened from the blood loss, but soon finds his wound healed and his vitality returned. For Davon, he starts to feel his skin boil and his blood feels like acid in his veins.
As the potion takes hold, a searing warmth spreads through Elendil's veins, the wounds on his neck sealing shut with a soft pop. He gasps, a surge of renewed energy flooding his body. But before he can react, Devon's agonized scream echoes through the alley. The vampire staggers back, clutching at his abdomen as if impaled, his eyes wide with horror.
Davon's eyes roll back, his mouth opening in a silent howl of anguish. His skin sizzles and bubbles, erupting in gruesome blisters that burst and leak a noxious, acid-green fluid. He collapses to the ground, thrashing in a death spiral of agony. Whoa, what happened? He gurgles, his voice barely audible over the wet, gurgling sounds of his own mutilation. You can't. It can't be.
Elric and Glimmerstar approach the fallen Davon as he convulses on the ground in agony.
Elric approaches cautiously, his hand on the hilt of his dagger. He nudges Davon with the toe of his boot, trying to rouse the suffering vampire. Well, well. Looks like our friend Davon here got a taste of his own medicine. Or should I say, the medicine of Amalthos's enemies. He crouches down, grabbing Davon's chin and forcing the vampire's head up to meet his gaze. I'm afraid your little reunion with Elendil has come to an end, Davon.
Glimmerstar holsters his daggers and crouches beside Elric, peering at Davon with a mix of fascination and revulsion. Damn, that potion Elendil drank worked faster than I thought it would. And look at Davon now, all bloated and green. He's a sight to behold, ain't he? Glimmerstar says with a hint of morbid amusement. But we shouldn't linger here any longer. We need to get Davon back to the Silver Sturgeon and see if we can squeeze some information out of him before he...
Davon's eyes flutter open, his vision blurred and hazy. A pained groan escapes his lips as he tries to speak, but the words are slurred and barely intelligible. Ravenfang, traitor, he coughs up a glob of bloody mucus, spitting it on the ground. You must. The vampire's gaze drifts to Elendil. A flicker of recognition and gratitude burning in his eyes, despite the torment on his face. Finish me.
Nightfall, Elric, Glimmerstar, Elendil, and Egun stand outside of the holding area in the Silver Sturgeon. They can hear Davon screaming inside.
We must end this swiftly, for Davon's sake, Elendil says, his voice heavy with pity but resolve. If Amalthos discovers his servant's betrayal, it could spell disaster for us all.
Elric nods in agreement, his expression grim. You're right, Elendil. The poor Saad deserves a quick death, not a prolonged, agonizing one. He glances at the doors, a mixture of sadness and resolve in his eyes. Shall we put him out of his misery, then?
That is the thing. The potion is supposed to be lethal for him. He should be dead already. I don't know why he is still sort of alive.
Then it seems we have no choice but to finish the job ourselves. But first, let's see if we can extract any information from him that might aid our cause against Amalthos. Elendil steps forward, his hand on the doorknob, his expression thoughtful. Davon may have been corrupted, but I suspect there's still a shred of the man he once was left inside that monstrous husk. And that core of humanity may hold the key to unlocking the secrets of Amalthos's power.
Glimmerstar clears his throat, a look of resignation on his face. Well, ain't this a fine mess? Looks like we're about to play executioners. But I suppose that's the price of progress in a world gone to hell. He pats the holstered pistol at his hip. Just hope this is over quick. I ain't keen on listening to Davon's wailing much longer.
Elendil and Egun step into the room and see Davon laying on the ground, still writhing in pain.
Elendil's gaze softens as he approaches Davon, who's now reduced to a whimpering, shuddering mass on the cold stone floor. Davon, my old friend, it's over, he says, his voice gentle but firm. Your suffering will end soon, but first, tell us, what has Amalthos done to you? What secrets can you share with us before you pass? He kneels beside the vampire, his hand resting on Davon's shoulder in a futile attempt at comfort.
Davon's gaze locks onto Elendil's, a spark of recognition and regret flickering in his bloodshot eyes. Elendil, forgive! He chokes out, his voice a raspy whisper. Amalthos has corrupted me, deep within. Part of me still remembers. His body convulses, a gurgle escaping his throat as another wave of agonizing pain rips through him. Face see in me power dark. Davon's eyes glaze over, his gaze unfocusing as if gazing into the depths of a dark void. Use it fight to destroy Amalthos. Destroy seed.
Elendil listens intently, his brow furrowed with concentration as he tries to unravel the cryptic words. The Fae Seed, in you, dark power, destroy Amalthos, destroy the seed. He repeats, piecing together the fragments of Davon's dying confession. So, the key to saving the realm lies within you, Davon. Your connection to the Archfey, even in its corrupted form, may hold the key to defeating Amalthos and breaking this darkness.
A faint, desperate smile graces Davon's lips, a glimmer of the man he once was shining through the monstrous facade. Tell Valerissa about Archfey, seed, he gasps, a trickle of blood escaping the corner of his mouth. Find way to destroy both.
Egun shoves a stake into Davon's heart.
Davon's body goes limp, the spark of life extinguished in an instant. His eyes, once burning with a feral hunger, now stare blankly at the ceiling, frozen in a final expression of peace. Peace, he whispers, a final futile plea that fades into silence.
Our path is now clear, he declares, his voice firm despite the sorrow that hangs in the air. We must find a way to destroy the Fae Seed within Davon, and in doing so, sever Amalthos's hold on this realm. The fate of our world rests on our shoulders. He squares his shoulders, a determined glint in his eyes. Valarissa must be told of Davon's revelations. She, more than anyone, can help us unlock the secrets of the Archfey and their connection to this darkness.
Leela will probably be able to help. Davon didn't know about her. He says, as he kneels over the body. His body is infused with the energies of the Feywild. Zoamalthos must have consumed a Fey spirit. That must be why he has control over the land now. Igun begins to cast a spell in Draconic.
Elendil nods in agreement, his mind already racing with plans and possibility. Leela would be an invaluable asset in this fight. Her connection to the Feywild and her Archfey status could prove crucial in unraveling the mysteries of this darkness.
This is strange. His spirit is stuck here.
You think we should just let it go, or what? Sounds like a lot of hassle for nothing.
Let me try something. Igum pulls the stake out of Davon.
Davon gasps, his body writhing in agony as the stake is extracted. The pain is almost unbearable, a searing, fiery torment that threatens to consume him whole. What did you do? He cries out, his voice a ragged, desperate wail.
Well, it seems your power was a curse. You are now bound to the land, Davon. Killing you seems to be only temporary.
Temporary? No, it must end. I can't take this pain any longer. Davon screams, thrashing wildly, his body contorting in a frenzy of agony. Find a way to free me from this damned realm. I'll help you defeat Amalthos if you promise me release.
Igun shoves the stake back into Davon's heart. Okay, that will keep him quiet for a while, at least. He turns to the rest of the group. No one enters this room. I doubt the potion's effect will last forever in whatever Amalthos did to him. He can't be killed like a normal vampire. He pauses for a moment. Tamaros was tasked with taking his soul to the Nine Hells. Hopefully he can rip the soul from the body, otherwise I fear that Davon won't stay dead.
As the stake pierces his heart once more, Davon's body goes limp, his mind descending into an abyss of agony and madness. Yet even in the depths of his torment, a spark of determination flickers within him, a promise to himself to somehow, some way find a way to break free from this living hell and exact revenge on his tormentors.
The group heads back into the barroom of the Silver Sturgeon after locking and guarding the door to Devon's cell.
Well, what's our next move? Should we try and rally the people of Blazinghold again to make a stand? Or do we focus on taking down Amalthos himself? Glimmerstar asks, pouring himself a stiff drink to calm his nerves after the unsettling scene with Davon.
Well, if we can't find a way to kill Davon, then I doubt we can kill Amalthos.
You're saying we're in deep trouble, right? Because I ain't feeling all too hopeful here. He slumps into a chair, cradling the whiskey in his hands. Hell, we might just be outmatched by these undead freaks and their master.
Elric paces the room, his expression troubled. I agree with Glimmerstar. We've got our work cut out for us. But we can't give up now. We need to think strategically and focus on our strengths.
I'll go back to reading whatever I can on necromancy. I never liked that particular subject, but now it seems important.
Elendil sits at a table, his face thoughtful as he strokes his beard. We need to find a way to sever Amalthos's connection to the land, to strip him of the power that's turned the Valley of the Dragon into a domain of dread. And as Davon mentioned, destroying the Fae Seed within him could be key to achieving that.
End of scene. Start of scene. The next day, Igun runs back downstairs to find the group planning the defenses to the city.
All right. So here's the plan. Glimmerstar, we need you to fortify the gates and walls as much as possible. while Elendil and I will try and rally the townsfolk to bolster our defenses. We'll need all the hands we can get if we're going to hold back the undead hordes.
I received a reply from Zephyr and Lila.
Zephyr reply message to Egun sending. We freed the Archfey seedling and weakened Amalthus's influence. Focus on Davon. We'll investigate ways to sever connection to Faecy. We will work that angle.
Great news about the Archfey seedling. That gives us some hope.
Elendil's eyes light up at the news, a flicker of relief and gratitude on his face. Thank the gods, Zephyr and Lila's efforts are bearing fruit. If they've weakened Amalthos's influence, it could buy us precious time to prepare and devise a strategy to destroy him once and for all.
End of scene.
Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed the adventure. Stay tuned for more episodes. You can watch us play on twitch.tv at the Guildhall Podcast channel. If you want to join a game or just say hi, stop by our Discord. Details are at the-guildhall.net. The music in this episode was created by Philip E. Ray and used under Creative Commons. Thank you, and I hope to see you next time.